Hello, my name is Kayla Verhoeven, and today is Thursday, March the 12th of 2026, and I'm going to start off with the pantograph here, part one. The first thing I'm going to start with is vets in Congress mixed in on Iran. Lawmakers who served after 9/11 grapple with war by Stephen Groves with the Associated Press 3 minutes ago. Mideast War, Washington. As Congress responds to President Donald Trump's attack on Iran, lawmakers who served on the front lines of Iraq and Afghanistan are making their voices heard in a war debate that has taken on intensely personal meaning. Many admit mixed feelings, taking satisfaction in seeing vengeance taken on the leadership of an Iranian regimen that has targeted U.S. service members for decades, yet fearful that another generation of soldiers could soon face the same combat experiences that they did. Do I take gratification? You know there's the Marine side of me. Yeah, of course, said Arizona Democratic Senator Ruben Gallego, whose company suffered some of the heaviest losses on the U.S. side during the Iraq War. I know they killed a lot of American soldiers, American Marines. But do I also understand that I have a responsibility not to let my lust for revenge drive my country into another war? Experiences in the post-9/11 wars are also coloring the decisions of the Trump administration, given that top officials, including Vice President J.D. Vance and Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth, were once deployed to Iraq. Gallego, like others on Capitol Hill, leaned heavily on his firsthand experience of fighting in the wars after the September 11, 2001 attacks, as he assessed the Iran conflict. Lawmakers wore bracelets etched with the names of friends killed in battle, told stories of coming under attack from Iran-backed militant groups, and also reflected on their own life-changing injuries suffered during combat. While the initial votes on Iran saw Congress divide mostly along party lines, with Republicans backing Trump's decisions and Democrats warning of an extended conflict, veterans in both parties shared deep reservations about entering the conflict. As somebody who knows a lot of friends that didn't come home, and a lot of Gold Star families, that's why the week before the attack, I was actually one of the ones that was talking about caution, and why we needed to avoid at all costs getting into another long, drawn-out Middle Eastern war, said Republican Representative Eli Crane of Arizona, a former Navy SEAL who left college to enlist the week after the September 11th attacks. Crane said his concerns were partially assuaged by briefings from the Trump administration that indicated to him that the president is not planning a drawn-out war. He voted against a War Powers Resolution that would have halted attacks on Iran unless Trump got congressional approval. But Crane said wars are never straightforward. I've been on military operations that did not go to plan many times, and so I understand the nature, he said, adding that he was calling for the Trump administration to approach the conflict with humility and caution. Gallego and other Democrats worry that it is too late for that approach and fear there could be more American casualties. So far, 7 U.S. service members have died in the conflict with Iran, with another 140 wounded. War is dirty and mistakes happen, Gallego said. The longer the conflict drags on, he added, the more that there will be a chance for U.S. military members to be killed. He said he saw that in Iraq, when friends would be killed by seemingly random shots from enemy combatants. Still, many Republicans argued that it was necessary to attack Iran to stop a regime that for decades has helped train and arm militant groups throughout the Middle East. Republican Representative Brian Mast, who chairs the House Foreign Affairs Committee, led the debate on the House floor against the War Powers Resolution. Mast, who served as an army bomb disposal expert, now uses prosthetic legs after receiving catastrophic injuries from an improvised explosive device in Afghanistan. Me especially, many of my other colleagues, no one wants to see our military go into combat or war, he said. Then he added, but Iran's terror, which has caused the deaths of thousands of Americans, has to stop. Important questions loom for Congress as the conflict with Iran unfolds and spreads to other parts of the Middle East. The price for the operation is already likely running into the billions of dollars, likely forcing the Trump administration to soon seek billions in funding from Congress. The outbreak of war has also scrambled global alliances and the future of U.S. foreign policy. Shadowing it all is at the potential of another drawn-out conflict. Lawmakers said they owe it to their fallen comrades to ensure that this does not happen. To me, it's to speak out. It's to say another generation should not go fight in an open-ended, ill-conceived regime change war in the Middle East, said Democratic Republican Pat Ryan, his hand moving to a bracelet etched with the names of friends who were killed during his two Army combat tours in Iraq. Others remembered how frustrated they became with Washington during their service, especially as soldiers tried to fight with insufficiently armored vehicles and not enough troops. I know what it is like to be on the very end, in the receiving line of the decisions that are made in Washington, said Democratic Representative Jason Crow, who entered the Army as a private before being promoted to a captain and deployed to both Iraq and Afghanistan. Crow said the frontline soldiers often suffered because people stopped asking tough questions. People stopped being held accountable. Congress stopped voting on it. Another veteran, Democratic Senator Tammy Duckworth of Illinois, said that that was one of the reasons she sought a congressional seat in the first place, as a Black Hawk helicopter pilot with the Illinois National Guard. Duckworth lost her legs when her helicopter was hit by a rocket-propelled grenade in Iraq. I ran for Congress so that when the drums of war started beating once again, I'd be in a position to make sure that our elected officials fully considered the true cost of war, she said, not just in dollars and cents, but in human lives. In other news, an Irish find home in Uptown Shop. American offers good atmosphere of Emerald Isle. And American is spelled E-I-R-E. So, American offers goods atmosphere of Emerald Isle. Olivia Jacobs 3 minutes ago. Local business. Normal. Uptown Normal is now home to the only Irish gift shop between Chicago and St. Louis, according to owners Stephen and Brandy Caulfield. But they want the American Irish gift shop to be more than that. They say they envision it to be a home of Irish community in central Illinois, complete with Irish clothing, jewelry, decor, rosaries, food, and even a cozy fireplace and sitting area for customers. The Ire part of the name refers to the Irish Gaelic name for Ireland pronounced Era. So it's pronounced the same as American, so air. The store, which opened on the second floor at 203rd and a half West North Street, located above the Rock Restaurant at the beginning of December, began online about 3 years ago. After that, the owners started bringing their items to events such as the Peoria Irish Fest and the Sweet Corn Circus, they said. If you go, what? The American Irish Gift Shop. Where 203 and a half West North Street, Uptown Normal, second floor above the Rock Restaurant. Their hours are 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Tuesday through Saturday, closed on Sunday and Monday. To email and get in contact is info@theamerican.com, and it's spelled A-M-E-I-R-E-C-A-N. So info@theamerican.com. The phone number is 785-473-8867 or 409-530-4568. So the second one again is 309-530-4568. You can get them on Facebook at facebook.com/theamerican. Website theamerican.com. They went as far west as Woodbine, Iowa, where Brandy is from, and as far east as Port Huron in Michigan. We try our best to get all of our products either from Ireland or Irish things made in the States. which is true for about 90% of the products we get, Stephen Caulfield explained. I suppose the one thing that sticks out, apart from the Irishness, is the Catholicness of the shop. We're very Catholic, he added. And we opened the shop, you know, we really wanted to make sure that we were doing it in a Catholic way, and that we would in some way try to promote Jesus Christ and Catholicism. Stephen Caulfield left Monaghan, Ireland 20 years ago. After finishing his tourism and marketing degree at the Dublin Institute of Technology, now the Technical University of Dublin, he didn't know what he wanted to do with it, he said. He ended up going to South Korea to teach English, and there he met his now wife, Brandy. They traveled all over Asia and Europe teaching English and eventually made their way to Normal, where they taught English as second grade language for international students at the Illinois State University. Stephen Caulfield still does a little bit of teaching today. The couple decided to move their online store to a brick and mortar spot after their teaching job started to wind down this past winter. They designed the shop with two distinctive spaces, affectionately calling them the kitchen, which has food items, and the living room, which has more of the clothing and jewelry items, and the fireplace for the seating area. Stephen Caulfield said the space can feel quote-unquote very atmospheric, especially at night with the lights down and the jewelry case lights and the fireplace on. The shop offers a range of items from clothing and jewelry to groceries and a section of rosaries, and they invite people to say the rosary each week. The Caulfields agree the coolest part of their shop is their jewelry. They encourage customers to check out their selection for both men and women, and they say that they hope to expand their men's jewelry selection a little more in the future. Customers have also enjoyed the sweaters, hats, caps, soaps, and more, they said, and they soon hope to add pan bread and Irish white and brown bread to their lineup. They try to get new products in their store about every 6 weeks. We try and curate the shop carefully, everything that we buy and we believe in, and we think that it is worth it. And if it ends up not being worth it, we just don't buy it again, Stephen Caulfield said. There's not really one thing that I think, oh, you should come up and see this, you know. I think you should just come up and experience the shop, he added. Have a seat. You know, usually the TV's on showing some Irish landscapes and stuff like that. So we truly encourage people to just come up. That is why we built that little area so people can just come up and relax. Originally, their vision for the shop was something bigger, combining a place to eat and drink with the gift shop, in keeping with an Irish tradition. In Ireland, they have local establishments, combining a grocery store, a gift shop, a post office, a pub, and even an undertaker. They say they wanted to put a modern twist on that tradition, to bring together a gift shop and a soup and sandwich type of place, which is still very much their goal. They also have a sign-up sheet available at the counter for those who are interested in a tour of Ireland, and for the shop's monthly newsletter. So far, they received positive feedback from customers, they said. Yeah, we've got a lot of customers say that they have to go up to Chicago, 2 hours at least, any which way, to find an Irish gift shop, Brandy Caulfield said. We've had quite a few international customers come in and say, oh, do you have this? Do you have a little comfort food or comfort drink or something? So now we're able to get most of it in for them, then if they ask for something special. But yeah, so far so good. Lots of happy customers, I think. This St. Patrick's Day, Tuesday, March the 17th, the shop will be offering 17% off of all their jewelry products, and they've also brought in a selection of sportswear that can be worn not just for the holiday. They say they thought it would be a good alternative to the typical Kiss Me I'm Irish t-shirts. And while the shop is typically open until 5 p.m. on Tuesdays, they will be closing at 4 p.m. on St. Patrick's Day. The Caulfields are also going to be part of this year's Sharon of the Green Parade that's set for 1 to 3 p.m. on Saturday, March the 14th in Uptown Normal. They say they try to keep their shop prices as fair as possible because they want everyone to enjoy the store. Many people in the area and beyond associate themselves with Ireland, and the Caulfields said that they want to be a part of that. We're happy to be here. One thing that myself and Brandy noticed when we first arrived here is that we've been in Illinois for 7 years nearly now in Normal, and people are amazing. Yeah, even as Midwest people go, the people of Central Illinois are amazing, you know. So super, really, really, really nice, very, very friendly people. So we're very happy to serve them. You can contact Olivia Jacobs at 309-820-3352 or follow Olivia on Twitter at Olivia_Jacobs. In other news, Iran targets ships in Dubai Airport, by John Gambrell and David Rising with the Associated Press 32 minutes ago. Dubai, United Arab Emirates, Iran attacked commercial ships on Wednesday across the Persian Gulf and targeted Dubai International Airport, escalating a campaign of squeezing the oil-rich region as global energy concerns mounted and American and Israeli airstrikes pounded the Islamic Republic. Two Iranian drones hit New Dubai International Airport, home to the long-haul carrier Emirates, the world's busiest for international travel. 4 people were wounded, but flights continued, the Dubai media office said. Iran's Joint Military Command announced it would start targeting banks and financial institutions in the Middle East. That would put at risk particularly Dubai in the United Arab Emirates, which is home to many international financial institutions, as well as the Saudi Arabia and the island kingdom of Bahrain. Earlier, a projectile hit a Thai cargo ship off of the coast of Oman in the Strait of Hormuz, setting it ablaze. Authorities are searching for 3 missing crew members from the Mayuri Nari after 20 were rescued by the Omani Navy, according to Thailand's Marine Department. Meanwhile, an assessment from the Israeli intelligence said it believed that Iran's new supreme leader, Mojtaba Khamenei, is wounded at the start of the war. An Israeli intelligence official and reservist with knowledge of the situation spoke on condition of anonymity because they were not authorized to discuss the matter with the media. They gave no details on the nature of injuries. The 56-year-old Khamenei, the son of the late Supreme Leader Ayatollah Ali Khamenei, has not been seen since succeeding his father on Monday. His father and wife were both killed in an Israeli airstrike on the first day of the conflict. Separately, Kuwait and its defenses downed 8 Iranian drones, and Saudi Arabia said it intercepted 5, heading toward the kingdom's Sabah oil field. Iran has effectively stopped cargo traffic in the narrow strait, which about a fifth of all oil is shipped. It has also targeted oil fields and refineries in Gulf Arab nations, aiming at generating enough global economic pain to pressure the United States and Israel to end their strikes. The UN Security Council was to vote later Wednesday on a resolution, sponsored by the Gulf Cooperation Council, demanding that Iran stop attacking its Arab neighbors. Witnesses reported continuous airstrikes hitting Tehran after Israel and said that it had renewed its attacks. Explosions were also heard in Beirut and in southern Lebanon after Israel said it was hitting targets connected to iron-backed Hezbollah militants. Today's Flick Fact, 32 minutes ago. Question about that 30-foot-tall tree standing inside Uptown Normal's Medici restaurant. Where did it come from? Did they build the restaurant around it? What kind of tree is it? And, well, why? Answer, that's a mulberry tree, originally growing for about 25 years, behind what, in 2007, became Medici. Hans Morsbach, one of Medici's co-founders, was a tree lover, so much that the furniture inside of the restaurant is made from wood grown on his own 450-acre Wisconsin tree farm. When the tree had to come down, Morsbach wasn't about to let it go to waste. The bark was stripped, the trunk and the branches were enameled, and BN artist Dan Nardi sculpted a base for it. A big hook crane dropped it into place before the roof went on. So to answer that question, yes, the tree was there, and yes, they built the building around it. How time flies. 100 years ago, on March the 12th of 1926, 6. State's Attorney James Light endorsed the workhouse proposition yesterday and thought that the utilization of county jail prisoners to build hard roads through McLean County an excellent one. Ever since he has been in this position, he has urged the grand juries to recommend that placing prisoners at work. 75 years ago, on March the 12th of 1951, the heaviest one day snowfall of winter, 5.1 inches piled up here from 4 p.m. March 10th to 4 p.m. on March 11th, according to U.S. weatherman Jahari Johnson. His records show that the previous high for this winter was 4.3 inches that fell December the 5th and 6th. Since now the current snow began, the temperature has hovered near the freezing mark in Bloomington. 50 years ago, on March the 12th of 1976, three persons were injured on March the 12th, and windows and trees damaged as wind gusts were up to 60 miles per hour and ripped through the Twin Cities area. Two people were injured when they attempted to grab house doors whipped open by the winds. A third was injured when a gust knocked her to the ground. 25 years ago, on March the 12th of 2001, the WeSo Shop and Alterations and Mending Business in Bloomington is celebrating its 25th anniversary this month. Owner Dottie Garrett started the business with a friend by asking acquaintances if they needed any sewing done, and she watched it grow over the years. "I just always had a knack for it," she said, "of making her own clothing, and my mother really encouraged it." In other news, Americans are uniting over gas prices. By Hannah Fingerhut, Mike Householder, Michael Schneider, Michael Catalini, and Bill Barrow, Associated Press, 13 minutes ago. Michael Catalini, DeSoto, Iowa. Standing alongside his son's Ford pickup truck at a central Iowa gas station off of Interstate 80, Francisco Castillo was not happy. He voted for President Donald Trump in the last election. He believed Trump strengthened the economy in his first term, and he wanted more of that. "I thought he was going to bring some of those things back," said Castillo, 43. "And now? He is going to bring gas down, but the war in Iran is now making everything worse. It seems a country divided on so many fronts is finding common ground in pain at the pump, where the cost of the Iran war is hitting Americans squarely in the wallet and aggravating people across the political spectrum." For Castillo and many others filling their tanks across the country on Monday, it was a reminder that politicians' promises aren't going to pay the bills. "They do what benefits them," Castillo said. "I have to go to work every day, no matter what." The national average gas price was $3.48 a gallon on Monday, up from $2.90 a month ago, before the war, according to tracking by AAA. Trump has insisted the conflict was worth it. "We're putting an end to all this threat once and for all, and the result will be lower oil prices, oil and gas prices for American families," he said at a news conference Monday. "The war is just an excursion into something that had to be done." Robert Kuhn from Omaha, Nebraska, filled up on his way to Ames, Iowa. Though not a Trump voter, he believed the strikes in Iran needed to happen. Even so, he fears U.S. involvement is not going to be, quote-unquote, in, out, and over. A Quinnipiac poll found about half of registered voters oppose the U.S. military action against Iran, while about 4 in 10 support it. The vast majority of Democrats were against it at 89%, and Republicans were for it, 85%. Independents against it by 60%. Overall, 3/4 were concerned the war with raising gas and oil prices. For now, surging prices are not keeping Ray Albrecht, a 67-year-old independent voter, from hauling his camper on his pickup truck. However, he said he would stop traveling if the price reached $5 a gallon, since he only gets 8 miles per gallon with his truck and camper. He stopped at a Speedway gas station off of Interstate 4 in Winter Park, Florida, paying $3.59 a gallon for a half a tank to keep him rolling towards his home in Wisconsin. At the same gas station, Republican-leaning Tyler Nepal, 23, from Orlando area, said that the price of gas for his Toyota Tacoma may shape his vote in the midterm elections this fall, but it won't change his driving habits. "You've just got to fill it up and bite the bullet and hope that the prices go back down. That's really all I can do. I still have to get from point A to point B, and I need gas to do that." In Ferris Hills, Pennsylvania, Vivian Knight, 53, who is on disability, hopes her fill-up last week will last her a month. "If I had to go to work or something like that, gas prices would be ridiculous," she said. Speaking of Trump, he kind of starts some problems that really don't need to be started, and she puts the Iran war in that category. The saga will have no effect on how Joey Perillo, a 74-year-old political independent from Yardley, Pennsylvania, will vote in November. "The gas price would have gone down to 2 cents a gallon, and I'd vote against him," he said. In the Detroit suburb of Livonia, Anthony Gooden, 50, sized up a plight of gas-powered vehicle owners while waiting for his Chevy Equinox EV to charge at a station. "Whoa, they are going through it now," said Gooden, 57, from nearby Redford Township, "and it's only getting worse." Gooden ditched his internal combustion engine vehicle over a year ago and said days like these reinforced that decision. In Ann Arbor, Michigan, Elvana Hammond, 55, drives a Mach-E electric SUV as well as a Ford Raptor truck that costs $100 to fill up when gas is over $3 a gallon. "It's easy choice which to use more now. I usually and mostly drive the EV, especially to work, because I have a long commute," she said. "The Raptor is for snowy days, short errands, or when I'm moving something big." And now on to horoscopes. Happy birthday for Thursday, March the 12th of 2026. By nature, you're competitive. You're also intuitive, inquisitive, and keen to explore new experience. This is a year of learning and teaching. The stars show the kind of day you'll have. A 5 dynamic, 4 positive, 3 average, 2 so-so, and 1 difficult. March 21st through the April 19th, Aries. Tread carefully today because your interactions with bosses, parents, VIPs, and the police might not go well. Tonight you're noticed. Taurus, April 20th through May 20th. In discussions with others, avoid controversial subjects like politics, religion, and racial issues today. Tonight, explore and learn. Gemini, May 21st through June 20th. When dealing with shared property, taxes, debt, or the responsibility for someone or something, you might take the lead because you feel confident and energetic. Tonight, check your finances. Cancer, June 21st to July 22nd. Steer clear of parents, bosses, and authority figures to avoid disagreements today, because you might want to express your opinions. Tonight, listen and cooperate. Leo, July 23rd to August 22nd. Even though you might be gung-ho about something at work today, or something perhaps related to your health or even a pet, tonight work and get organized. Virgo, August 23rd to September 22nd. Romantic relationships are difficult today, which means you might need to be patient, tolerant, and thoughtful. Tonight, socialize. Libra, September 23rd to October 22nd. Today you have a lot of energy to work and get better organized. Nevertheless, relationships with partners and close friends will be challenging. Tonight, relax at home. Scorpio, October the 23rd to November the 21st. You might be enthusiastic in your communications with others today, only to find out that people disagree with you, especially at work. Tonight, enthusiastic conversations. Sagittarius, the November 22nd to December 21st. Romance, along with issues related to your kids, will be challenging for you today. Therefore, don't be demanding. Tonight, check your money. Capricorn, December 22nd to January 19th. Today, the moon sign dancing with Mars, which gives you a take charge energy. This is a good thing. Tonight, you win. Aquarius, January 20th to February 18th. Today, you are best served by keeping a low profile. Relax. Work alone or behind the scenes. Don't make anything a big deal. Tonight, solitude. Pisces, February the 19th to March 20th. This is a tricky day because in one way, a friend might invigorate you and encourage you to take over a project or run the show. Tonight, be friendly. Thank you so much for listening, friends. This has been part one of the Pantograph, and have a good day and be safe.